By the way, if you have one of these, don't put salt or water in it. It'll get you. This stuff's powerful. Yeah, as soon as you take a little bit of a swig, it blows the tonsils out of the back of your throat. Just a warning, if anybody has one of those. But anyway, Pamela, did you manage to find the sermon? Okay, thank you. Before I get started this morning, I do want to pray. I know that there are pastors out there that they pray for me by name, and I want to pray for them this morning. Pastor Dave Spencer, he has been diagnosed with a form of blood cancer that they say is incurable, but is treatable, which is good. However, what's happening is his body's making too many red blood cells, which is making it really thick, and so it's not flowing properly. And he's got a black spot on the end of his thumb, kind of like the black spot on my finger. But I hit my finger with a hammer, but the black spot on the end of his thumb is because his thumb has died, the end of his thumb, because of the lack of blood flow. And they're talking about amputating that. And so I want to pray for him that God will heal him of that disease, whatever it is, and restore life to his thumb. But also Pastor Ray Torrey over in Seneca Falls had suffered. This week, he's back. I think last week was his first time back in the pulpit in like 6 weeks or so. He suffered a nerve issue in his neck that caused him to have stroke symptoms on one side of his body 1 week, and then another week on the other side of his body. And it took him quite a while to be able to even, you know, formulate sentences and have words come out. You know, his brain was kind of working, but his body wasn't functioning with it. And so those two gentlemen, those two pastors, you know, fellow servants in the Lord, need prayer. And there's so many other ones. You know, and if you think of a pastor that, you know, more than these, and there's several, you know, let's lift them up in prayer. But before I do that, anyone else? Yes. Okay. So Chris's cousin in Vegas. Yes, Pamela. Where? Two more deaths? Wow. Okay. Good community of Penfield. Anyone else? My mom. My mom spent a few days in the hospital with knee issues. I'm not sure they got it all straightened out, but she seems to be home and doing better. Yes? Frank Polano. In the hospital. Bruce? Somebody said my son? Yeah. Would you mind standing with me as we pray? Not that standing or sitting has any bearing on anything, but just, I don't know, I guess if we stand, we can lift the prayers up a little higher, maybe, I don't know. Father, we call on the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For all these names we have mentioned here, all sorts of issues, God, physical ailments, diseases, Pastor Dave Spencer and Pastor Ray Torrey, all of these others, families in Penfield, this loved one out in Vegas, even in my own parents' home, in the Polanos, God, there's so many that need a miracle. They need an intervention. They need you, God, to reach into their lives, into their bodies, and heal them. Father, I pray right now, and I'm going to stand in faith, God, that every one that we pray for, because we pray, we sang that every prayer is a powerful weapon, and we believe that prayer right now is powerful. And so, God, we pray that these who we have mentioned here today, that none would pass before their time, that none of these diseases or injuries or issues in the body would cause them to have their days shortened, but, God, that they would be healed, and they would be lifted up, and then they, therefore, would lift up the name of Jesus Christ. and profess your name in your kingdom until the day that you choose to call them home. And so, God, I pray for healing for each and every one of these. A mighty, powerful blessing of love and life through the power and the mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I had a message all prepared until about 9:30 this morning. And then God changed it. He gets to do that. There's been something that just been taking place before my eyes, and I am marveled. And I want to share with you a little bit of that, but I've got some scripture to give you. Because at 9:30 this morning, he did another whole message. And so I was able to put it together, and I want to share it with you. Before I go, there's only a few slides. I want you to look at that picture. Oh, is there somebody for kids? I know Doug said that Doug was going to, but I don't think he's here, is he? No? Okay. You'll take him? Okay. Judy, you'll take him. Thank you, Carol. I'm just... They're not climbing on my lap, so I don't get the full effect. Lord bless Judy and the children. By the way, I want to have a meeting. I'm not sure when to have it with all the children's workers, because I've got the curriculum pretty much figured out how it's going to work, and I want to have a meeting. And so I'm not sure how we're going to pull that off. How many are consider yourself a children's worker or willing to actually start being a children's worker? Okay. Are we doing anything next Saturday? Do you know? I can't do that? Okay. Will you do me a favor? If you are a children's worker or would like to work with the children, would you write your name and your phone number on a piece of paper and give it to me before the end of the service, please? That way I can get a hold of you, and if I can put together a meeting, which I'd like to do, then I can call each of you and we can get that worked out. So if you can give me your phone number, your name and your phone number on a piece of paper before the service is over, I appreciate it. Because I really want to get going with this children's curriculum. We've had it for quite some time, and I believe it's a very good curriculum that actually parallels the Celebrate Recovery program. And the point of it being is that, Celebrate Recovery has been very beneficial in helping people deal with life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Well, when you apply that to the children and you teach them these principles when they're like this big, well, then when they're this big, they know how to deal with life. And so I just think it's a very powerful program. And so please give me your phone numbers so that I can get a hold of you, and we'll plan a meeting where we can go over how it's going to work. It's really simple. It's not going to be anything difficult. But anyway, this particular picture, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind as we turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 37. Says this: all the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Father, I thank you for your word and how powerful and how true it is. And Spirit, just what you've placed in my heart today, I pray that you help me communicate. And God, you speak just life into our hearts. Help us understand the direction, Lord, you have called us to be and to go. And bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a really, really good portion of Scripture. It talks about how all who come to the Lord, Jesus said, you know what? I'm not losing any of them. He says, I'm not going to lose one. That's my job. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. That's what the verse just before this says. Never hunger and never thirst. One of the things that I really love about serving God is that there's always bread at the table. There's always water to draw from. And I find it sometimes interesting that believers struggle so hard with the things of life when the bread is right there and the water is right there. And it's found in Jesus. And so if you find yourself hungry, you find yourself thirsty, turn to him, because what he said there is, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Isn't that awesome? You who are sitting here this morning, understand that I'm going through puberty. Excuse me. Sorry. Wait, did you scratch that from the tape? That's all right. I don't know what's going on in my throat this morning. But understand, you who are sitting here this morning, God will no wise cast out, hallelujah, otherwise I would have just been thrown far away. He loves you. He desires you. And he says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is his will, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Should raise it up at the last day. How many are looking forward to be risen up? I am. And you know what? I could ask the question, how many are looking forward to the last day? I kind of am, I kind of not. You know what I mean? I've had conversations with people who have had that last day in their own lives. Some of them go in misery. Some of them are just stricken with fear and doubt and grief. But some of them look at that last day with courage and grace, understanding that that last day means it's time to be risen up. But you know what? There is going to be a last day where we all will be risen up. My prayer is that Jesus comes and we all go together. I would really love to have that, to see that. We're all the saints of God. I would love to be on earth on the day that the graves open up and the dead and Christ rise. Can you imagine how people are going to wig out on that day? But then right after that, we who are alive in following Christ will be risen up. That's going to be incredible. And by the way, if all the movies are correct, we're all going to be naked. I don't know if the movies are correct. Not an argument.
Lord, how did we come into this world?
Yeah. That's right. We came in. All right, I got to refocus. Hold on. Where'd the picture go? Here's the picture. Focus on this picture, not that one I just painted, all right? Let me go back. This verse, in the middle of this verse, this passage that I just read, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Now, this is something that I believe, you know, we all need to grab hold of. Because how many of us have our own will? We all do. Right? How many of us have ever experienced where God has called us to do something that goes against our own will, but we knew it was His will and we had to do it anyway? Yeah. You know what? Even Jesus experienced that. We learn that before He went to the cross, He prayed, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. So it makes me wonder, was it really Jesus' will to go to the cross? If He's asking for that cup to pass, is there any other way? But you know what? He did God's will. Without reservation, without hesitation. You know, one of the things that I've been learning lately, and this is why this is just seems to be so resonant in my heart today. Doing God's will. Doing what I've been called to do. And encouraging you all to do what you've been called to do. Sometimes what you have been called to do is going to be outside of the realm of what you think your will is. But when God reveals to you what His will is, let me encourage you, do it. Lately, I have found myself just walking through the open doors. God has been opening doors. It's incredible. The power of walking in God's will, doing what He's called you to do, it's just amazing. This last week or two, I have seen more tears from people who are hungry for God, who are broken because of the life that they have lived thus far. And when I was able to just step into their world and give them a little bit of love, give them a little bit of light, and share Christ with them, share a little hope with them, the tears come down. And all of a sudden, there's a little glimmer. And you know what? If I were not walking in God's will, I would not have those experiences. And so I want to encourage you, just like Jesus, don't worry about your own will. Do what God wants you to do. Chances are, if you live according to your own will, you will drive yourself crazy in a very short period. Just saying. Because how many like doing things that turn into dead ends? Anybody? You spend all day, all week, preparing or getting ready, or you spend all this money. You did all this work. And then it comes time to when you think, oh, everything's going to be implemented. It's like, oh, you know what? That doesn't even fit today. It's not even what this is about. All that was for naught. Well, usually when we do things according to our own will, that's what ends up. That's how it ends up. But when we do things according to God's will, there's life and there's love, there's fruit. There's something to show for your work. There's peace, there's joy. I want to encourage you to do God's will. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 20 through 21 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." I love that little beginning there, the God of peace. I've run into far too many people who have no peace. Lives destroyed. Most of them due to their own choices. Full of guilt, full of shame, because they know their own choices have led them to this destruction of their soul, destruction of their bodies, destruction of their minds. But we serve a God of peace. And when we do what verse 21 says, He makes you perfect in every good work. I know many of the things I've my wife the other day, I heard her tell somebody, I've been like a little elf around the house. I've been building this and making that and doing all this kinds of stuff. And That's funny, because that, actually what I just said a moment ago applies. I made some shutters for our bathroom window, and I made them like three times for nothing because it wasn't what she wanted. But when it was all said and done, it was beautiful, and it came out really nice. But I know the things I did according to what I wanted to do, it's not perfect. Some of the things, if I was to critique some of the things, you might come and look at it and say, wow, that looks really nice. But I could show you where the little crack is. I can show you where the thing didn't quite fit together quite just right. Or the little flaws here and there. But you know what? When you follow the God of peace and you do His will, He says, make you perfect in every good work. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, dear. She pointed out it says make you perfect. Maybe not necessarily what you did, but make you perfect. How many of us really strive for perfection? Is there anybody? Who doesn't? Right? We want to get it right. It's got to be right. You know? Dave labored hours and hours putting his floor down, and he wanted it right. Billy and Louie spent hours and hours building these windows, and he wanted them right. So many others, they do so much. Louie, man, he gets out there, he spent days and days trimming that tree outside because he wanted it right. But you know, God will make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Now, try to understand that sometimes it says working the things that, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. You know, sometimes it gets messy out there in ministry. Do you know that? Believe me, it gets messy in ministry. Mike and I had an opportunity yesterday. It got messy. And brother, after you left, you didn't hear him, but after you left, that gentleman we ministered to stepped out on the step. He says, I feel different. He had tears in his eyes. He says, I feel different. Only God can do that stuff. And so I'm thankful for people who walk in the will of God and who will do what God's called you to do, because it's well-pleasing in His sight. Amen. By the way, I was just reminded, before you leave, make sure that you wish Tammy a happy birthday. Today's her birthday. Dad's was yesterday? Well, happy birthday. Anybody else have a birthday recently? Sorry, I just had to take a little station break and pause just to remember. Wish Tammy a happy birthday and Paul. Tammy and Paul, I want you to know something. You are well pleasing in God's sight. You know that? Do you know that? Yeah. Know that. Share another verse with you. Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul talking. I had a whole sermon wrapped around this particular verse, and then God changed it. But I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Now, Paul calls it the high calling. You know, and I want everybody to understand this. You are called by God. You need to get that in your spirit. I don't remember ever, you know, when I was young in the Lord, when I was growing up, you know, in the church, and I don't ever remember, you know, maybe I was, but I just don't remember anybody telling me, hey, you know what, you're called. I want you to know, you're called. Every single one of you. You might be thinking to yourself, who am I? You know what? You're a child of God, and you are well-pleasing to Him, and He has called you. And don't take it lightly. Paul called it a high calling. Now, you can look in your commentaries and you'll find some that will say that, well, the high calling he's talking about is God calling us up to high heaven. Well, yeah, we know we're going there. But I don't really think that's what this verse is talking about. I think Paul is talking about the calling that was on his life to preach the gospel. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Well, what's the prize? Eternal life. Stored treasures in heaven. The reward, whatever the reward is for performing the high calling that is on your life and my life. Okay? But what I really want to focus on is I press toward the mark. And then I want to give you this picture. And I want to explain it a little bit. For Christmas, I got a bow and arrow. Hallelujah. Oh, I should have brought it with me. I probably would have got hurt. It's probably best I left it home. But I got a bow and arrow. Hallelujah. I've wanted one for a long time. And I've been out in my backyard. Every time I get 5 minutes and the weather's like okay and there's not 3 feet of snow where I'll lose them, you know, I'll go out there and I'll shoot arrows. Just different distances and whatnot. And I have found that I can hit the target but miss the mark. Think about that for a moment. You see, that's actually what the target looks like that I shoot at all the time. And my arrow can land anywhere on that target, and I've hit the target. But there's something about when I hit the mark in the middle that makes it different. It doesn't matter what your game is. If you're shooting arrows and you're trying to hit a target, or guns, or if you're bowling, isn't it, you know, you can throw that ball down there 100 times and you'll hit pins. Hopefully. If you go down at sunset, they'll put those bumpers up. You'll definitely hit some pins. But when you hit the mark and they all go down, it's different, isn't it? If you're playing golf, I had balls in my mind this morning, thinking he might be here. He told me he got an eagle over on one of the holes at Big Oak. An eagle means he you have so many tries to get the ball in the hole, and he did it like two times before he was supposed to. He hit the ball from like way out, and it happened to land on the green and went in the hole. He hit the mark. You know, he could have hit the green. And that makes you feel good. That's nice. I hit the target. The green was my target. But boy, when that ball goes in that hole, it's different. I hit a hole in one when I was in Mexico. And I was shaking after I did it. I'm like, so what? Big deal. I got lucky. The whole long story, I don't even tell you that. Because it's really funny. But my brother-in-law wants to break my neck. But I was shaking because it was just, wow. I hit the mark. Paul said, I press toward the mark. And you know what? When we go out there and we take on the calling that God has put on us, it's important that we press toward the mark. Amen. My wife's having some more revelation here. And what she's saying is that what's impressive about golf is you can't even see the mark. You know, you can't see that 4-inch hole when you're 100 yards out. But you know the direction. Amen. I'm liking this. You guys are preaching for me this morning. But you know the direction. And just like Paul, he knew the direction. He knew the calling on his life. He knew what direction he needed to go. And he pressed toward the mark. That mark right there in the center. And you know, if you look at that, I don't know if you can see it from where you're sitting, but even the center, there's anywhere in that yellow, if you're in a competition, that's a score. That's a big score. But you know, and you don't get any extra points for hitting that little tiny dot in the middle. But I'll tell you what, when you hit that little dot in the middle, not only do you have a bullseye, but you just, wow, I hit the mark right on. And so if anybody's got a bow and arrow and you want to practice, come on over, I'll shoot with you. It's a lot of fun. But the reason why this is resonating to me today is because as over the last month, God has put me in places and given me the opportunity to hit the mark. We hit the mark yesterday, Mike. I shared a story. I hit the mark at the jail a few weeks ago. I hit the mark delivering some furniture to some guy over here on Genesee Street. And I'm telling you what, it's different when you hit the mark. Something wells up inside. Remember that peace of God, peace that I talked about, that God of peace? I want you, this is what I want to encourage you to do. Don't settle for just hitting the target. In other words, I could come here and I can preach a message. I've preached hundreds, I don't know, maybe over 1,000 now. I have no idea how many messages I've preached. I could preach any message. You know what? I had another one prepared. I could probably pull that out and preach too. But if that's not the one that's going to hit the mark, okay, maybe I hit the target, but I want to hit the mark. When we sing, when we lead worship up here, I don't want to just sing songs. Just singing songs, we can sing songs all day long and we can hit the target. Boom, oh yeah, yeah, we sang in the wonderful song of Jesus. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit just anoints it and fills it and just takes your heart to another level, you hit the mark. When you're in prayer, in your prayer closet, sometimes we just fall asleep. Amen? Anybody? Yeah, hey, there's a little honesty here. Amen. Sometimes we just go through the routine, you know. Some people have it written down and they just, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, my soul asleep, keep, whatever, I don't know how it goes. It's been a long time, but I haven't prayed that one in a while. But you know what? When the Spirit of God enters in your heart and puts somebody in you, I had a dream last night. It was so real. It was like, wow. It was so real. And when I was awake and I'm still thinking about it. It was so real. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I'm thinking about the person who was in the dream and the devastation that had taken place in their life. And I was so affected by it. I knew I needed to hit the mark. And I started praying right then and there for that person. You know, when the Spirit put something... the other day, I had walked to... God sent me to the post office. I had to go to the post office. And I was going to drive, I drove to the post office, I'm going to park, and then I was going to run over to the CareNet Center, and then I was going to go on my way. Well, I drive by the post office, there's no place to park. All right, I'll just drive over, I'll park by the center, and then I'll walk over to the post office. So I drive over to the center, I walk over to the post office, and lo and behold, God put two people in my path that one of them, I was like, okay, I'm not really sure, I really want to see this guy, but okay, I will, because God, you could have left me an open space over there earlier and I wouldn't be in this position, but... So boom, I hit the mark. I go in the post office. Somebody else is there. Boom, I hit another mark. I leave the post office. I'm walking back and all of a sudden, I'm going by the Federal Credit Union. I think of somebody I know who works in there and I'm thinking, maybe I should go up and just say hi. And I didn't. And then I went about my way. You know, I thought of the person, but that was a passing thought. Went about my way. I get home. And I learn from my mother, who was in the hospital, that the person who I knew that works at the credit union, her husband, had gone into the hospital that day. I missed that mark. I thought of her. I was on target, but I missed the mark. I should have prayed for her because her husband had a need. See how that works? I want to encourage you to hit the mark. It's powerful when you hit the mark. It's different when you hit the mark. You know, this life is so much more than just getting through our day and getting to our nice comfy pillows and sleeping away another night and getting through another day. It's so much more than that. There's marks along the way that God wants us to pull that string back and let that arrow fly and hit that thing right in the center. Stand with me if you will. Meredith, you want to come and just play something real soft for me, please? Just softly, whatever. By the way, praise God. No boot. Hallelujah. No crutch. Yeah. By the way, that reminds me to be praying for Vince. He has surgery this coming Thursday. And I'm sure he's not with us today because he is with a friend of his who has just some very aggressive cancer going on. And he's, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but Vince, I've seen Vince cry tears over this situation that's going on. So just keep it in prayer, not for him, but for this other person, this friend of his. So keep him in prayer. Everybody repeat after me. I have a high calling. And I'm going to press toward the mark. There's a prize at the end. Okay, you can stop repeating now. And I can tell you from my experience, it is good. It'll change you. When you hit the mark, confidence will come. All of a sudden, you will look at people differently because God will give you eyes that see the mark differently. That it'll be more that you'll see the tree in the midst of the forest, and you'll be able to go right there. And not only will it change the life of the soul of the mark that you hit, it'll change your life too. It really will. So if you question, well, I'm too old. No, you're not. If you question, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. If you question, well, I can't even put two scriptures together. Does not matter. I am very sure that every person in here has the ability to love. You don't need any scripture to love. You don't need any talent to love. If you want to hit the mark, you better have a bowl that's strung up with love. And you'll hit that mark every time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for my bow and arrow. I thank you, God, for this picture that you have given me and the experience that you have given me. I pray, Father, that every person standing here would understand the calling that is on their life. And Lord, that we would press toward the mark. Not just to hit the target somewhere, but to hit it right in the middle, right in the heart. Right where the most powerful blessing can occur. Anoint us, everyone. Fill us, everyone. You have called us, and thus use us, everyone. I pray for this congregation right here that we will hit the mark. And that the peace of God will change the hearts and the lives of those around us and of us ourselves. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much. Let your will be carried out through each of us today as we press toward that mark. Doubt, I want you to raise your hand. If you've got any doubt in your ability to serve God, just raise your hand because I want to pray that right out of you. Anyone else? A few. A few more. Understand this, it is not about you. Like my wife mentioned, God will make you perfect. A few more, I see. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for these who have doubt in their own selves, Lord, that you will show them exactly what the mark is. You'll show them exactly what their calling is, and you will help them to minister according to your ability and not theirs. Lord, I pray that you will help them to hit a mark so soundly, so centeredly, that they would build confidence and understanding of how it is you can use them no matter what. Lord, bless these who have raised their hand this morning. Anoint them. Pour out your Spirit on them. Flow through them. As you love them, let that just so overfill them that it pours out and hits the marks around them that you have prepared for them. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for the honesty here. We sometimes feel insecure. We sometimes feel unworthy. We sometimes feel unable. But with you, all things are possible. Therefore, God, I pray for these who have had even a shadow of doubt that they would become the ones who would produce the most fruit. That they would be the ones that would be able to stand up and rise up and show us exactly how to love and how to hit the mark. Praise God. Let me encourage you. Look at me for a minute. Let me encourage you. When I first got that bow and arrow, I had to practice, right? I had arrows over in the woods and arrows off in the grass. But you know what? I kept shooting it. I kept practicing. And now I can back up even farther and see and hit the mark even from even farther away now. And God will use you just like that. Stand up just in faith. I mean, you know, everything we do in the kingdom of God is by faith, right? Step out in faith. When you feel the Spirit of God leading you, and it doesn't matter if it's just, hey, you know what, that pastor needs a cup of coffee. Or, yeah. Get it for him. If it's, you know, if some of you young people, if you're in school and you're struggling, you see somebody else struggling, you know the answer, and you can help them. Help them. Whatever Spirit of the Lord puts on you to do. If you got co-workers that, you know what, they just need love, most of them. Mike and I yesterday had an opportunity to minister to this guy that, wow, I'm so glad we were there. Somebody could have got hurt. I mean, really? We could have got hurt. But you know what? Said this time and time again, if you will make yourself available to God, he will use you. And he'll put the mark right out there in front of you, and you'll know exactly what it is that he wants you to do. Whether it's to invite somebody to church, whether he wants you to tell them about Jesus, whether he wants you to give somebody a sandwich or a cloak, a coat or hats and mittens or whatever the case may be. Whether he wants you to go down to CareNet and start ministering, whether he wants you to come out to the jail with me and start ministering. Fatherhood groups start ministering. By the way, there's a ladies group, I believe, going to start. Praise God. Hallelujah. What's that? You got to make some more connections? All right. But it's in the works. Hallelujah. Crystal sees a mark out there. She's going for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm blessed this morning. I really am. Look at your neighbor and sing, He is wonderful. Amen. Do you have a song right there? Do you have a song? What are you playing?
I was just making it
up. Oh, you're just making it up?
Yeah.
You want to make up a song too? Or?
No.
Oh, okay. What's this one?
I don't know. Holy.
Yeah, we can sing that if you want. Sing that. Yeah, just do that one. You got to sing it too, though. I don't have a mic on. Amen. We're going to be back here tonight at 6 o'clock, continuing through the externally. Tonight we're going to start talking about relationships, because it's all about relationship. It really is. Wednesday night, celebrate recovery. And please remember, if you are a children's worker, or if you want to work with children, make sure I have your phone number so that I can get a hold of you throughout the week, and hopefully we can get a meeting scheduled. Strive toward the mark. Press on. Amen. Have a great afternoon. If anybody would like more prayer, come right up here and I'll pray for you. Other than that, greet one another and enjoy this song as we're dismissed this afternoon. God bless you.
King of kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything.